They are easy to miss, and actually I have missed them largely for years. But if you start looking, you will see them around, even right here in the old town in our neighborhood. Little emblems of a shell, sometimes mounted high up on a building, sometimes in a corner of one of those familiar yellow hiking signs, or sometimes on a brass plaque fixed to a stone in the road. These are markers of a pilgrim trail, the Way of St. James, and if you start following them, they will, and keep on going, you will eventually find yourself in the northwest coast of Spain at the Cathedral of Santiago de Compostela, where tradition holds the remains of St. James are buried. Our leg of the trail here in Geneva is a pretty new one, just a couple of decades old. But the older parts of this route, in France and in Spain, have been in use since the 10th century, making a way for 1,000 years of pilgrims to pray and seek step by step. I like knowing that our church is on a leg of this well-trod path, because it's really how I think of our congregation. We are a community on the move, we like to say. Most of us do not come from Geneva originally. We call at least one other place in the world home. But right now, here we are, encountering one another at this point on our journeys. Here we are, like pilgrims walking a common trail. Some of us are just here for a few days, some for a year, some that turns into decades. Some of us were thrilled to come to this city. Others were not so sure about it. And for this time, our paths converge. We share stories and provisions, laughter and tears. We listen to one another. We bless one another. We walk together for as long as we're here. We are a community on the move, pilgrims on a journey, fellow travelers on the way. Our psalm today is one of the most beloved in the Bible. It has been dear to people of faith in all kinds of different places and contexts for thousands of years. And I think it is a great fit for a community like ours, because it is truly a traveler's psalm. The first clue is the title. We may not think of psalms as having those, but some of them do. Sometimes there is a brief word before the psalm begins, like a psalm of David or a psalm at the dedication of the temple. Psalm 121, like each of the psalms, numbered 120 to 134, that whole group, each has the title, A Song of Ascents. No one is absolutely certain what that means, but the best guess is that these 15 psalms, all grouped together, are a sort of pilgrim's prayer book. Pilgrims regularly made their way to Jerusalem for feast days in ancient Israel, and it seems that these psalms were particularly designed for taking along with you on the journey. If you have been to Jerusalem before, you know that it's built at kind of the highest point in the region. Whatever direction you are coming from, you need to go up to get to the city. In the Gospels, Jesus and the disciples are always going up to Jerusalem. That's how it's put. Pilgrims would have done the same. So, hence the title, A Song of Ascents, a song for going up. And this particular psalm even begins with a raised head. I will lift my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. That is the King James version of this first verse of the psalm, which is familiar to some and forever enshrined in lots of musical pieces. It has a nice ring to it, but most people today agree that's a mistranslation of the Hebrew. The opening verse is probably not a statement, I lift my eyes to the hills from where my help comes, but rather a question. I lift my eyes to the hills, from where will my help come? You guys are all going to remember that question after today, I know. The difference does matter. In the earlier way of translating that verse, the help is sort of coming from the mountains, as though God lives up there somewhere. In the current way of translating it, a gaze up to the mountains toward a high point and a long path ahead, potentially filled with hazards and dangers, looking up there is cause for a question. Where is my help going to come from? That's a question I think we can all identify with. Whether we are setting out on the journey of a hike in the Alps, or the journey of a new job, or the journey of parenthood, or the journey of adjusting to a new city, or the journey of retirement, or the journey of an illness, we can find ourselves wondering, how am I going to do this? How am I going to face this path I don't know well, with all the uncertainties, all the unknowns, all the possible things that can go wrong? Here I am, and it's time to set out. I've done my best to prepare, but there is only so much I can control. So, where will my help come from? We know that question, and the psalm has a rich and beautiful response. My help comes from the Lord, it says, the maker of heaven and earth. This is one of those profoundly beautiful and really foundational claims made by the Bible. The God who made heaven and earth, the one who flung the stars through the sky and set the planets in their courses and formed the earth and its creatures and breathed life into humanity. That God is concerned with you, with your life, with your journey, the one that you are on right now. He will not let your foot be moved, says this prayer. He who keeps you will not slumber. God is concerned that you find your way in safety. So I don't know if you are finding yourself a little bit suspicious right about now, because of course our feet do slip sometimes. I can still remember very well the first time I really rolled my ankle on the trail. I was leading a group of high school students on an overnight in the mountains many years ago. Everything had gone well. We had enjoyed our hike up the day before. We'd had a good night sleeping under the stars. The weather had been lovely. We'd packed everything up and were merrily on our way back down, looking forward to returning to the lodge. That is when trouble often happens, I have since learned, on the way back down. My pack was heavy, and on a steep little stretch, my right ankle turned much farther than it should. I knew right away that something was wrong. It swelled almost instantly, and the way back to camp took a whole lot longer than I had planned, with me hobbling along and leaning on others for support. I was off the trail and off the ankle altogether for several weeks afterward. Our feet do slip sometimes, on whatever kind of journey we're on. The psalm doesn't seem to acknowledge that fact with its bold declaration that God will not let your foot be moved. But I think there are a couple of ways to make sense of that and what's going on here. First is to remember that as a whole, the psalms are a profoundly realistic book. There are feet slipping all over the place in the psalms that are just around this one. You can find voices of people who have slipped into danger or worry or despair, all being perfectly honest about their experience, just on the pages near this one. The writer of the psalm knew about those experiences. I'm sure of it. And I imagine she also knew that whatever slips may come in our travels, whatever falls we may take, God will still be there beside us. We will never slip beyond God's concern and God's care. Even though it appears that God is sleeping or snoring, Martin Luther wrote in relation to this psalm. Never thought of God snoring, but that's Luther. This is certainly not so. Despite the way we may feel and think, God is surely awake and watching over us. Eventually, we will learn this. And what's more, this prayer isn't really an abstract theological argument. It's actually much more of a blessing. Did you notice that there is a pretty clear change in voice in the psalm? The first two verses, the very beginning, use I, and the whole rest of the psalm uses you. It reads actually like an exchange between two groups or two people, One speaks and the other responds. Biblical scholar James Limburg calls this a psalm for sojourners, and he specifically imagines it as being used at the moment when somebody is setting out. From where will my help come? Says the one about to depart. My help comes from the Lord, he says, in answer to his own question. And then the ones staying behind look at him and continue like this. God will not let your foot be moved. The Lord is your keeper, the shade at your right hand. The Lord will keep you from all evil. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. The ones who are staying behind offer a blessing, a reminder of what God is like, words for the traveler to take with him and hold close on the road. I had never thought of this familiar psalm in just that way before, as a back and forth exchange on the cusp of a journey. But it makes sense, doesn't it? It's lovely, and more than that, it's powerful, because it presumes a community. We don't sojourn alone, but with the prayers and blessings and support of others. That's what we are here for, fellow pilgrims. We are here to speak and act and pray like that for one another. As we each make our way on the varied paths that we find ourselves summoned to, family and work, friendship and service, solidarity, sickness, health, learning, we show up with blessings and reassurance for others. And we need that support. Sometimes looking up at the mountains ahead, we do find ourselves asking, how am I going to get through this? What is going to sustain me? From where will my help come? And the community is here to sing, to pray, to remind us in so many ways of who we know our God to be through and through, our keeper, our guide, our guardian, our shade. Lent is quickly coming to a close now. Before long, we are going to be walking the path of Holy Week together, and finally looking up to another mountain where a cross stands against the sky. For all the world, it looks like defeat, like hopelessness, like foolishness even, in the words of St. Paul. But we will remind each other that there, in that very place, we see the power and wisdom of God. We will lift our eyes and proclaim once again that in the God we meet there, a God who would face even death to embrace this world and all of us travelers, there's always new life. In the God we meet on that hill, there is help to be found. Thanks be to God. Amen.